They chose to give up some things in order to reach more people. The disciples chose to give up some things in order to reach more people. I'm going to have you use your imagination with me tonight just for a little bit. And don't be afraid. Frightened. I'm coming off the platform, all right? But don't be afraid. All right. I want you to picture a big triangle. And this is one corner of the triangle right here, all right? I don't know if this is what kind of a triangle this is, because it's been a long time since geometry, right? But this is one corner of the triangle. All the way across the bottom over here is another corner of the triangle. You with me so far? Do we need to review yet? No, good. Okay, so you got one corner there, one corner here, and then you've got one corner. I'm going to go ahead and move this up just a little bit. And here's the top of the triangle. All right, can you kind of picture that? All right, so you got one corner there, and you got a line coming up to the top right here where I'm at. I am at the apex of the triangle, the very top right here. All right, you with me? All right, so you've got this triangle, and you've got these steps going up. As you're on the bottom of this triangle, you've got a lot of room to move. You could be right over here on this edge, and you're still in the triangle. You could be way over here on this edge. We're going to call this liberty. There's a lot of liberty at the bottom of the triangle. I can walk all over the place. I got a lot of space to move. As I go up the triangle, and as I go up the triangle, we're going to call this leadership. As I go up the triangle, I have to kind of go in a little tighter. And it gets a little smaller to the point where when I'm in this position of leadership now, I can't move as much to the side. Here's what's happened. I've traded liberty, lots of liberty down here. I've traded liberty for leadership. As you grow in leadership, you voluntarily give up some freedoms. You give up some liberty because you want to influence people that are under you. I think I read that from John Maxwell. I've heard it from other different people as well. When you first start your Christian life, there's a lot of liberty. And you begin learning some things. You begin growing. And you take a position of leadership. Maybe you become a Sunday school teacher. And now as a Sunday school teacher, there's some guidelines. And there's a form that you sign at our church. And you're going to be careful what you wear. You're not going to cuss and drink and chew and go out with girls that do. You know things like that. So as you grow in leadership, nobody's making you give up your liberty. But as you choose to take a step towards more leadership and more influence, time is an example. The more you take on as a volunteer. If you join the church and you get involved and you decide I'm gonna help out in a Sunday school class, or I'm gonna go to Sunday school, I'm gonna go at the 9:30 hour, I wanna learn, I want my family to grow. So you take this step and now you've got a little bit less liberty because you've taken this step of maturity. Take another step, maybe you become a teacher, maybe take another step, you become a soul winner, whatever it is, and as you are increasing in influence, you are willingly, voluntarily, nobody's making you do this, but you are willingly giving up some latitude. You're giving up some liberty so that you can better influence those who are under you. If you can picture that triangle as we preach the message tonight, I think it's going to help you. Here's the title again. They chose to give up some things in order to reach more people. Acts chapter 4, look at verse number 32. Acts 4. Verse number 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite in the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You've got this story. The disciples are reaching people, and as they reach more people, they are coming together. The last instruction that Jesus gave the new church was to wait in Jerusalem for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We preached about that last week. and then to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's exactly what they did. They waited in Jerusalem. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. They preached the gospel throughout the city of Jerusalem, and people were getting saved by the thousands. It was an amazing thing. Pharisees were getting saved. Priests were getting saved. Foreigners that were visiting in Jerusalem were getting saved. And as more people got saved, the disciples faced more persecution. It's a good thing that people are getting saved. But as they're getting saved, now the religious leaders are looking, and religious leaders are watching, and they begin to persecute them. In Acts chapter 4, you've got the story of a couple of the disciples, and they are brought into prison, and they're beaten and they're threatened. Verse number 23, and being let go, this is Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, they're praying, they've just been persecuted, now they're praying to God, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And the Bible says, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So here's what's happening. As they continued sharing the gospel, and as they continued to be persecuted, they prayed. As they prayed, the place where they were was shaken, and the power of God comes upon them again. So they continue sharing the gospel, and they continue to be persecuted. And here's what they found. It's an amazing thing. They found that they would rather live for others than for themselves. It's an amazing principle. They realize as they're being persecuted, as they're sharing the gospel, as people are getting saved, they're realizing, hey, this is an amazing life. I would rather give up some of the things that I have so that more people can be reached. I'd rather that than keep what I have. And they begin to give things away. They begin to, as the Bible says, have all things common. Now, this is an amazing principle. We'll look at it in just a moment. But here's the principle. You've heard it before. You hear it around Christmas time all the time. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I remember my parents trying to teach me that. And I was like, no, it's not. I would so much rather get a present than give a present. But as I matured, I began to understand that. It is better to give than to receive. I can remember the Christmas. I don't remember exactly which one it was. I think I was out of high school. The Christmas that I forgot to buy anybody else presents. I don't remember all the details of it. And I'm glad I don't, because I would feel really awful if I did. But I remember going to the mall with my sister to buy Christmas presents, and she's buying Christmas presents. Don't go to the mall at Christmas time. It's the worst time to go to the mall ever if you don't like crowds. I don't like really crowds. So we're at the mall, shopped all day long. The only thing I bought was a tape. Cassette tape for myself, Christmas time. I don't remember all the details about that, but I remember feeling awful about that afterwards. Yeah, I deserve that. It's more rewarding to live for others than to live for yourself. And as you understand, if you remember this triangle, we're going to get into the message more here in just a minute. Here I can live for myself. I've got a lot of liberty down here. I can go where I want to. I can do what I want to do. I can do it as I want to. I can do it when I want to do it. I've got a lot of liberty down here, but down here, I'm living for myself. As I begin to live more for others, I find that I have less liberty because I, on purpose, am trying to influence others, and I am giving of myself. I find myself being willing to give of my time, so I have less time to give. I find myself giving of my finances, so I may have less finances to use on myself now because I'm giving it to others, but I wouldn't want it any other way whenever I see how God's working. Liberty, my desire to maybe do some things, and I look and think, maybe I don't really want to do this thing because it might be a bad testimony to that person, and they might wonder and make that person not want to be saved. We'll talk about more about that in just a moment. It's more rewarding to live for God than to live for yourself. They chose to give up some things in order to reach more people. They were learning this powerful principle. It is more blessed to give than to receive. They were living it. They were learning it firsthand by personal experience. They gave up their personal property for the goal of reaching more people with the gospel. In Acts chapter 5, is that where we were? Acts chapter 4, verse 32, that's where we were. You've got this passage, and you got a man named Joseph. He's also called Barnabas. That's probably what most of us know him as. Barnabas takes a property. He sells it. But in verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They gave up their personal property for the goal of the Great Commission, reaching more people with the gospel. It's an amazing thing that they gave up some things and chose to give up some things in order to reach more people. When they were willing to give up some things, they were able to be witnesses with great power and great grace. I want you to notice this verse. Verse 32, the Bible talks about them being of one heart and one soul, and they're not saying that this is mine, but the Bible says that neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They're realizing, I really don't just want to live for myself. I want to live for others, and I'm willing to give of myself so that we can reach others. Look at the very next verse, verse 33. They gave of themselves, now verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They chose to give up some things, and whenever they did that, they were able to be witnesses with great power and great grace. Now listen, God hadn't commanded that they give up their personal belongings. He hadn't come to them and said, Barnabas, you need to sell this. There wasn't a rule that in order to join the church, you had to sell all your stuff. Don't join a church that has a rule like that. In order to join the church, you got to sell your stuff and bring it all to the church. It all becomes ours. It wasn't a rule. It was just people that were seeing God move in such a great way. And they were saying, listen, I'm willing to maybe have a little less liberty, a little less stuff, so that I can do something greater for God and have a greater influence for the gospel. And God worked. They chose to give up those things. God hadn't commanded it, but they chose to as they grew as Christians. It wasn't just the apostles that gave up some things. The Bible says it was the multitude that believed. If you look at verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. It was this whole group. It wasn't just a small group of people that was doing this. They were seeing God work, and they thought, you know, it's worth it to me to give up some things in order to reach more people with the gospel. They were unified by a common purpose. They were of one heart and one soul. They were united in one purpose, and that was to be witnesses. They wanted to see people saved so much that they were willing to give up some things. Some of them sold possessions. Now, I'm not preaching this message tonight to get you to give up possessions. We already took the offering, so don't worry about that. We're actually, there's more to this than just stuff. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Some of them sold possessions, gave the income to the apostles to use for the purpose of spreading the gospel. Some of them shared what they had among the apostles so the apostles could continue getting people saved. Not only did they give up some of their things in order to reach more people with the gospel, but they also gave up some personal liberties. I want you to go to Romans chapter 14, and I want you to see the apostle Paul's take on this. The idea that I want to reach more people, so I'm going to give up some of these liberties so that I can reach more people with the gospel. And I believe we're going to see the same principle at work here. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, writing to the Romans. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. And he says this, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So the message tonight really isn't about what you're supposed to eat and what you're not supposed to eat. That's really not the direction we're going here. The point of it is this. Some people they're going to make a decision. I'm going to not eat some things. Some people say, I am going to eat some things. And the Bible says, if you are the one that eats, in verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. There's some things that God has not specifically said don't do that we might consider as Christians, and we might think, you know, this is a liberty that I have. I have the option. I can eat anything I want to. He's talking about food offered to idols here in just a little bit. It wouldn't bother me if somebody went to the meat market and got a big piece of steak, like a really good cut, and they roasted it really well, and they offered it to an idol, and they said, hey, you want some of this? I offered it to an idol. That wouldn't bother me in the least. You know why? I don't worship that idol. That's not something that's going to bother me. But we're going to look at here in just a moment that might be something that I should say no to just because it might keep him from being saved. The Bible talks about hurt his conscience. So we talked about eating. There's some people that say, I'm going to eat this. Some people say, I'm not going to eat this. Then he goes on in verse number 5 and talks about special days. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Look, if you're going to choose to eat something or not eat something, that's fine. It's between you and God. But we're going to get here just a little bit. There's more to it than just what do I think. There's more to it just than what do I want. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. Look at chapter 14, verse 13. And here it comes to the point where we have to make a decision bigger than just ourselves. It's not just about my liberty now. It's about me being in a position of influence where I can make a difference in somebody else's life. So now I've got to consider more things as I make some of these decisions. In Romans 14, 13, the Bible says this, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. These things that I'm trying to decide, do I do it or do I not do it? I may have perfect liberty to do it, but if that becomes a stumbling block to somebody else, if that gets in the way of somebody else getting saved, should I do it or should I not do it? I've got the option. I have the decision. I can do it because I've got this liberty. I can do that. But do I? Should I? If me doing something that's perfectly legal to do, and it's not against the word of God to do, but it would keep somebody else from getting saved, should I do it? Well, the Apostle Paul answers that as we go a little bit forward. Romans 14, verse 14, he says this, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Look at verse 15, though. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So we should choose what we do or don't do. Listen to this. Based on how it affects others. It's not just about me now. It's not just about, I've got all this liberty. I can do whatever I want to. I'm under grace, and as long as it's not sinful, I've not been convicted about it. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. So I'm just going to go ahead and go. I've got all this liberty. But how does it affect somebody else? Is it going to bring somebody else closer to the gospel? Or is it going to push them further away from the gospel? So that's the question that I need to be able to answer. Specifically, how does it affect whether other people get saved or stay lost? Oh, the song that we sang tonight, there's a new name written down in glory and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. What an amazing song that is. But what about somebody else's new name written down in glory? Is their name written in the book of life? If they were to die, would they go to heaven? And even more than that, are the actions of my life, are they helping more people to get saved, or am I pushing people away from the Savior? So instead of just thinking, what can I do? I need to think, how is it going to affect somebody else being saved or not getting saved? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 23. There are several verses that I want to pull together because I want to teach you this. Yes, you've got liberty in Christ. What an amazing thing. I don't have to keep the law to go to heaven, and neither do you. There's nothing I have to do to get to heaven. Aren't you glad about it? There's nothing you have to do to get to heaven. You can push old ladies down steep hills and kick your neighbor's dog all you want to and still go. Now, it's not a good idea, but No, don't do that, okay? Just don't do that. But that's not going to keep you from going to heaven. I don't even know why that came to mind. If you sin, you're a Christian, you're saved, it's under the blood, there's nothing that can keep you from going to heaven. But how do I choose what I do? How do I choose the things that I don't do? 1 Corinthians 10:23, the Bible says this, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Okay, I can do it. I can do it under God and legally by God's word. It's not against God's word to do this, but look at verse 33. This ought to be our heart's desire. And I believe this was what was going on there in Acts chapter 4, Acts 33. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. There are some things in my life that I need to be careful of, maybe even stay away from, maybe decide not to do, or maybe decide not to go there, because I want people to be saved. The reason I'm preaching this message is because there's a couple things in my life, really, I'm personally struggling with. Do I do this or do I not do this? And as just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean I've arrived. I haven't arrived. I have not attained, as Paul said. I got a long ways to go. And there's some areas as God convicts me and I'm trying to grow. I want to do more to serve God. We preached the message last week about the Spirit of God coming upon us and being able to have the power of God on our lives. And we use the example of D.L. Moody. We use the example of R.A. Torrey. I want so badly to be able to share the gospel and the power of God be on my life so that when I share the gospel, God convicts that person gets saved. I want to see people's lives change. But there may be some things in my life that are keeping me from God's Spirit being upon me. They may not be bad things. They may be busy things. They may be things that everybody else thinks is just fine and everybody else is okay with, just accepted, but in my life, as God convicts me and as God molds me, and here's what's happening, kind of pushing you, squeezing you up to that next level. And I'm nowhere there, but as God squeezes you to that next level and He wants you to take on a position of more influence, and maybe He wants you to be able to reach more people with the gospel, and He squeezes you into a little bit of a smaller area, and you find out, Lord, this is just really not that comfortable, but I want to serve You, and I want to please You, and I want to have Your power in my life. So if it's not comfortable, that's okay, because I want to serve You. And I find myself there. We should choose what we do or don't do based on how it affects the salvation of others. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. The Apostle Paul, listen to this, was willing to give up his own personal liberty so that more people could get saved. So an example is of not eating what he believed was fine to eat. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 25. You may have been there. 1 Corinthians 10:25. Here's the Apostle Paul, and here's his example. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that'd be the place where food would have been sold and people would have bought it. Some people would have bought it to offer food to idols. Some people would have bought it and just taken it home. But whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye dispose to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat. Praise the Lord. Asking no question for conscience sake. You go to a feast, and you got to understand, in this situation, they're dealing with food that's been offered to idols. Do I eat it or do I not eat it? What am I supposed to do? And he says, if they invite you to their feast and you go ahead and go, and they don't tell you whether it's been offered to an idol or not, and you just go ahead and eat it. But look at the next verse. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. When he comes to you and says, this meat has been offered to idols, that's when Paul says, I can't eat it. But I don't really believe an idol is really anything. And the Apostle Paul even said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. So it's not going to bother me if I eat this meat. If I ate this meat that was offered to an idol, it's fine with me. Not going to bother me at all. He said, if they don't tell you that it's offered to an idol, go ahead and eat it. If they do tell you it's offered to an idol, don't eat it for conscience sake. Now, we've got to look at the next verse to see whose conscience. Look at verse number 29, chapter 10, verse 29. Conscience, I say not thine own, but of the other. And he asks this question, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Look at verse 31, 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. What's Paul's goal here? What's Paul's goal? I want to reach as many people with the gospel as I can. I want as many people to be saved as I can. So listen to what he's willing to do. The Apostle Paul is willing to say, if I'm invited to a feast, and there's this feast spread before me, and I find out that it's going to hurt somebody else, maybe it's going to keep somebody else from getting saved, I'm going to push back from the table, and I'm not going to eat this wonderful, beautiful piece of roast meat that was set before me. This is a sacrifice. And he's saying, I'm giving up some of my liberty so that somebody else can be reached with the gospel. There are some things that are not sinful, but you probably shouldn't do them. And the reason is to reach more people with the gospel. God wants you to be set apart. He wants you to be a holy vessel filled by His Spirit. There may be some things in this life that everybody else does that God doesn't want you to do so that God can use you in a special way. And I can't speak specifics to every single person here, but as you grow and as you want to serve God more and as your relationship with God grows and as God puts something on your heart and He says, I want you not to do this, or I want you to add this into your schedule. Whatever it is that God says to do, it may not be that everybody's doing it. It may not be the popular thing to do, but when God says, I want you to remove this so that I can use you in a better way, the best thing to do is say, God, I'm willing to give up some things so that you can use me. I'm willing to give up some liberty. I'm willing to give up some time. I'm willing to give up some energy, effort, finance, whatever it is. I'm willing to give up some of the entertainment of my culture so that I can serve you better. God told Samson's mom that he was supposed to be set apart as a Nazarite so that God could put His Spirit upon him and use him in a special way. Now, it's interesting the things that God told Samson's mom to keep away from Samson. You may remember some of those things. He was supposed to stay away from anything that had to do with grapes. Not just wine, but grapes. He wasn't allowed to eat grapes, be around grapes, touch grapes. God didn't want him to have anything to do with those. He didn't want him to cut his hair. And it wasn't in a stylish kind of a way, right? If Samson never cut his hair all his life, from the time he was a child to the time he was an adult, his hair wasn't just pretty. It was an obvious sign that guy has never cut his hair. Not only has he not cut it, he has never trimmed it. All right? It was a sign. It was the sign of a Nazarite. God wanted Samson also to stay away from any kind of dead body. It means he couldn't go to a funeral. Couldn't go to Uncle Bill's funeral. He had to stay away. There were some things that other people did, and in his life, Samson could have done that, except God wanted him to stay away from some things. And there may be some things like that for you. When God leads you to remove something from your life so that He can use you in a greater way, just go ahead and do it. Yes, people are going to think you're weird. They might think, as the Bible calls Israel, they might call you a peculiar people. But here's where I'm at. I'm just being very transparent this evening. I want God's power on my life, upon my life, like we preached last week in such a great way, that if God says, listen, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to watch that. I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to be in this group. I don't want you to be associated with this group because I want to use you in a great way. Listen, I want God to work in my life in such a great way that it's a struggle, yes, but I want to say, okay, God, I won't do that. Okay, God, I won't do that because I want to live for you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and we're done. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we've got four verses that I'm going to read. There's some things that I want you to notice in these verses, and I didn't even write any extra notes in here, okay? That's how close we are to being done. Four verses, I just underlined a few things. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Look how the Apostle Paul viewed his own liberty. He had amazing liberty. He's free to serve. He knew he wasn't under the law. But verse 19 says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all." I've made myself a servant. If you read the rest of that verse, you find out why. "That I might gain the more." Okay, verse number 20. "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews." Why would I live as the Jews? Because I want them to get saved. And there's a little bit more detail here as you look at the rest of that verse. "To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." The people that were living under the law, Paul said, I put myself under that law. Not because I felt like I had to do that in order to gain God's favor or get to heaven, but I felt like putting myself under that law, I would have a better chance of reaching them with the gospel. I wanted them to get saved. I wanted the Jews to get saved. So I traded my liberty for the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Verse 21, "To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." Verse 22, "To the weak became I as weak." Why? "That I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means," what are the last two words? "Save some." Are you willing, like these disciples in that first century church, to give up some things in order to reach more people? The some things may be time, as we talked about. As you get to an opportunity to share the gospel with more people, you might find out I've got less time for myself. I got less time for my hobbies. I got less time to just hang out and play video games or watch TV or whatever it is, because I want to save some. Maybe I've got less finances to work with because I've made a decision that I'm gonna tithe, I'm gonna give to missions. And if I do that, I've got less to work with. So but it's okay because I want to do that so that I can save some. Maybe it's my personal liberty. Maybe there's nothing really wrong with that TV show, but God puts on my heart, maybe I shouldn't watch it because He just doesn't want me to so that He can use me in a greater way. I can't explain all of that, but when God puts it on your heart and God works something in your life, just go ahead and say, "Okay, God, I'll do it so that I can save some." Father, I pray that You would work this truth into our hearts tonight. And I pray that You would begin to get us to consider this. Is there something in my life that maybe I should not do? Maybe some liberty that I should be willing to let You have so that I can reach more people with the gospel, so that I can save some. Lord, I know that I don't save anybody. None of us save somebody. But You use us and You work through us. And Lord, tonight I simply want each and every one of us to be a willing vessel just so that You can use us. We talk about living a separated life sometimes. Maybe that's what we're talking about. Maybe we're talking about the sacrificial life. You may speak to each of our hearts in different ways tonight about different items, different issues, different things that are going on in our lives. But Lord, I do ask that You would guide us. I ask that You would speak to our hearts. And please use us so that more people would be saved.